Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We often call this the gopher hole. When we want to talk about grace, we go for this text. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read verses 4 through 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Starts with my favorite word. But God, my favorite two words, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you and thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for loving us in such a marvelous manner, an unconditional love, an unearned love, an unmerited love that you freely bestowed upon us by giving your Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. So, Lord, we bow before you this morning and we just want to say thank you. Thank you that we can call you our Heavenly Father. Thank you that you've given to us your love letter, the Bible, through which that we, by your Holy Spirit, can embrace those things, those beautiful things that you've spoken to us. And Lord, this morning I ask that you would grant of your Holy Spirit that I might be able to speak your word in such a way that would honor you, that would glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that would be words of encouragement for us in this time of confusion, in this time of turmoil. Lord, that we might have our hearts and our minds stayed upon you and your grace for us. Bless, Lord, as only you can. Speak to our hearts, stir us, draw us closer. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. I want us to stop for just a minute and let this sink in. Just embrace this great truth that God has given to us a love that is immeasurable. I mean, how do you stop to measure the depth of love that God would give his only begotten Son to die for sinners like me? And no offense, but sinners like you. How can we measure that love? And yet at the same time, I want us to just stop for just a minute and realize that this text is more than just words on a piece of paper. This is the Word of God that is spoken to every one of us this morning as we're sitting here, as we're thinking upon these things. And God has given to us His love, His mercy, and His grace. You'll hear those three words a lot this morning. But He's given those His love, mercy, and grace to us. And He's given it to us in such a way that you and I, He calls us to sit down with Him. It's wonderful to see you all sitting together. But Jesus is in this place, and Jesus calls us to sit with Him. So for just a moment, in whatever way, in whatever manner that it takes you to embrace that and to take it into the very depths of your heart and the depths of your being, understand something, that Jesus is sitting right here with you right now. And these are His words that He's speaking to you. And He says, I love you unconditionally. And I love you eternally. And I love you in a manner that really, though it is spoken through His Word, it's a love that is shown by the giving that He gave of His Son. So embrace that this morning. Embrace the great truth of that. Embrace the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with us right here, right now. Let it sink in what God is saying to us. In verse 4, he says, but God is rich. I know I left out the word who. But God is rich. God is rich. Now, who's God? Well, he's the creator of this universe, right? He's the one that spoke it into existence. He's the one that said, let there be light. He's the one that put the stars in the sky, the sun, the moon, the earth, the sea, the water, everything. He's God. He has all power, right, in heaven and in earth. He's God. He's the one who has the ability to, in one place, cause the sun to stand still. In another place, he causes the sun to move backwards 10 degrees. He's God. But he's our Heavenly Father. Think about that. You know, I think that's the part that Jesus was expressing when he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And then he went on to talk about in his Father's house and the mansions that he's prepared for us. But understand something, that yes, he is God, but he has called us unto himself. He's called us his children. He's bought us by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. We're his children, and as such, he calls us to have a relationship with him. A daily walking, talking, learning, exploring relationship with who God is and what he's called us to do. And let me tell you something. My Father is rich. He's rich. Now, I'm not talking about gold, though he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm not talking about silver. I'm not talking about those things that we hold in our hands. I'm not talking about those things that we look at, that we can see, that we compare. But I'm talking about that which he's placed within our hearts. I'm talking about he's rich in love. There's a Southern gospel song, I believe the Gold City sang it. My Father is rich in love and mercy and grace. And we sang it a while ago, but that's a different song. But he's rich. My Father is rich. My Father has all power. My Father has the ability, when I am at my lowest point, to reach down and draw me unto himself. My Father is able to speak the very words that I need to hear, whether it be words of encouragement or words of direction or words of correction. My Father is rich. Another place Paul said, but God, my Father, shall supply all your needs. Now think about that. My God, my Father, shall supply all of my needs. How? As long as he's got enough in the bank account. You know, I guess maybe most children maybe have said this, but our children at one point, they wanted something and we didn't have it. They said, well, just write a check. Just write a check. As long as you can write a check, you can afford it. Well, God is able to write a check and he's able to afford it. My God is rich, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. But God is rich. God is rich in mercy. In the Old Testament book of Lamentations, Jeremiah was writing that book, and he's called the weeping prophet. And there was a reason he was weeping. Because God in judgment had come through, had allowed the Babylonian army to come into Jerusalem and completely destroy the city. This you'll find at the end of 2 Chronicles. They completely destroyed the city. They destroyed the temple. They tore down the wall. And as people would pass by, they would just shake their head in amazement. This is that city that everybody talked about. It's in ruins now. But even in that state, when the city of Jerusalem was leveled, Jeremiah was able to say, this I recall to my mind. Hold it. This is what I think about. This is what I recall. This is the thing that sustains me every single day. And I say this because in our day and time that we live in right now, you've heard me say it before, and you're probably getting tired of hearing me say it. But just turn on the news. and see how long it takes you to go from mountaintop to the bottom of the valley. We're at a time when turmoil and confusion is rampant across our land. And Jeremiah, in that time, same type of situation, he said, this is something I recall. This is something that daily I say to myself. This is something that each day I bring it into my memory. You know, there's certain things that maybe we want to put out of our memory, but there's certain things that we want to bring into our memory. And he says, this is that which I recall. And because I can recall this and know it's true, he says, I have hope. And that is this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. The city was destroyed, but we're not. We're still alive. We're in captivity, but we're not destroyed. What is that old song? Cast down, but not destroyed. It's scriptural, isn't it? Paul wrote about it. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Why? Because our Father is in heaven. Our Father is the eternal God. Our Father has all power. And our Father is rich. He is rich in mercy. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And when I think about my God is rich, when I think about the mercies of the Lord that He has bestowed upon me through His Son Jesus Christ, I have hope. I'll be honest with you, I don't have hope in Washington, D.C. I don't have hope in Atlanta, Georgia. And I don't have hope in Thomaston, Georgia. My hope is eternal. My hope is in God. My hope is in my Father. And my Father is rich. He's rich in mercy, and it never runs dry. It never runs dry. The last few weeks I've tried to talk about, maybe the last 3 weeks in one way or another, one form or another, I've tried to talk about that river of water of life that flows so freely from the throne of God. It never runs dry. It never comes. You'll never go to the Lord and ask for His mercy and grace from your heart. You'll never go to Him and then say, oh, I'm sorry, I ran out. The person right in front of you, have you ever stood in line for hours and you come to that point and says, oh, that person, he got the last one. God will never say that to you. His mercy will never, ever run dry. They're new every morning. It's new every morning. It's not the same old mercy. It's new. It's fresh. It's refreshing. It's that which we need for that very moment. Thy compassions, they fail not. You know me and my word meanings. Compassion. The root meaning for that word compassion gives the picture of an expectant mother. And an expectant mother, have you ever noticed how that, I'm not trying to be crude or anything, it's a beautiful thing to me, rubbing the belly. Why? Because there's life inside. Because there's newness that's inside. Because of the tender love for that baby that's growing inside. And that's what compassion is. When God looks upon us, it's like He holds us with that same tender love and compassion that an expectant mother has for that baby that's about to be born. And I understand that when that baby is in the mother's womb and the mother talks to that baby and sings to that baby, there's something about that, that there is a response that takes place even before the baby is born. There is a response that takes place because of the love that is shown for that baby within. If you've ever heard the voice of God, I'm going to tell you, you responded to it. You responded to it in one way or another, in one form or another, either with a smile or a sense of peace that overcame you, a peace that you didn't even hardly know maybe where it came from. But I'm telling you, when God speaks to your heart, you're going to know it, you're going to feel it, and you're going to understand, that's my Heavenly Father who is rich, speaking to me His words of mercy. Now, our response is different one from another. I understand that. And it's wrong for anybody to say, because you didn't respond like I did, that you must not have heard it. I'm telling you, we all respond. We all hear in different ways in how that the Lord speaks to us. But it's His compassion, it's that tender love that He has for us. And don't think me to be having lost it. But have you ever felt the arm of God come around you? I have. And it's one of the most beautiful feelings that you can ever have. To know that God has His arms around you. And that tender mercy and compassion. Let me tell you this morning, if you've never experienced it, the next time you feel yourself at the lowest point, would you just ask Him, Lord, I need to feel You. I need to know that You're here with me. I need to feel Your presence with me. And I assure you, He's rich in mercy. And He will let you feel that love that He has. Which brings us to the next one. But God is rich in love. In love. I've searched for the meaning of love. I've searched, I've tried to find in the dictionary, what does the word love mean? I've looked in Strong's Concordance, I've looked in other concordance and commentaries, and everybody has their thoughts about love, but everything that they show about love is that very thing, is it's shown, it's not put, and you say it, but, and I heard it first time right here, I think it's Brother Billy Torbert that made this statement, that some older minister that he had known said, "Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me." And God's love for us is so great that the only way He could express it was to show it. John tells us, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." That we might live through Him. God sent His only begotten Son. And yes, we live in Him. I'll talk about that more in just a moment. But we live in Him. Because that He died for us and He shed His blood for us. He paid the debt of sin that was against us. We live in Him. But not only do we live in Him, but He says that we might live through Him. Now, as this morning, as I was looking at that and thinking about those last words, live through Him, I thought about when this old country boy was just green as could be, and wet behind the ears, and believing that God had called me to preach, and not even knowing where to start or how to begin or anything about it, but knowing that God was dealing with me. As I look back, I realized that early, especially early in my ministry, and probably still to this day, but especially early in my ministry was lived through my Father. Let me explain that. I believe that probably the first time that I was asked to come to Grace was not because you knew me. You knew my Father. And as a result of confidence in Him, you asked me to come preach. And I didn't know what I was doing. But your love for me and Judy and our family was such that you asked us to come anyway. But you see, early in my ministry, I lived my ministry. Many doors were open for me because of who my Father is and the respect that people had for Him. Can you see on a higher degree what that means for you and for me? That we might live through Him. We might live through Christ. You understand that Christ opens doors for every one of us every single day that we live. He opens doors and gives us opportunities to show people who we are in Him. What we can do in Him and through Him.
It's not our own ability. God has given us that because He's rich. He's rich in mercy. Because I mess up so many times, but He's rich in mercy, and they're new every morning, and He brings me back to that place, and then He shows me His love. He's rich in love. You know, if God wasn't rich in love, it would have run out for me a long time ago, and He would have just cast me out and said, go on and be on your own. But His love is unconditional. His love is eternal. His love is such that we're imperfect, but His love is perfect because He's a perfect God and He's a perfect Father. My God is rich in love, and He manifested that love by sending His Son, not just to teach me how to live, but to give me life through His death and burial and resurrection. So my God is rich in mercy. He's rich in love. Which brings me, He's rich in grace. He's rich in grace. And again, grace is another one of those words. How do you define it? How do you go about defining it? Well, most that you'll look at says that grace is the unconditional, unmerited, unearned favor of God. And again, I remember early in my ministry, I quote that. I quoted it many times out of this pulpit 30-something years ago. I quoted it and quoted it and quoted it. And I never really knew what the word favor meant. Because I think of favor as being, would you do me a favor? Or I'll do you a favor. But that's not what the unmerited favor of God is. And here's confession time. I didn't know it till this morning. I looked it up one more time. And this time it meant something to me. It is the divine influence upon the heart. God's grace is the divine influence upon the heart. God's grace is that which takes this old heart that was made of stone, that was cold, that was lifeless as far as things of God was concerned. He took that old heart, He took it out, and He did a heart transplant, and He put a new heart made of flesh inside. A heart that is filled with His love, a heart that is filled with His mercy, a heart that is filled with His grace, a heart that now has been influenced. First of all, before influence, it is given life, and then it is influenced by the very person and presence of God Almighty through Jesus Christ with me each day that I live. Many times I failed, but there's been many times. Again, let me do a comparison here between my earthly father and my heavenly father. There have been many times early on, especially in my teenage years. I was the designated driver before it was ever invented. The guys that I ran with in high school, I don't know if they're watching or not, but and I'm not going to call names, but they'd get out of their mind. But I wouldn't. And it wasn't because I was goody two-shoes. It's because I was afraid of my father. Now, when I say I was afraid of my father, I think I can only remember one time that Daddy whipped me. I was afraid that what I would do would bring reproach upon him. I was afraid of what I would do. It would cause him to have a bad name in the community. That was God's grace. It wasn't Steve. That was God's grace that even brought that about. Shouldn't that same, to a heavenly degree, divine influence be on my heart now that my heavenly Father, I would not want to bring reproach upon His name, upon my Father in heaven's name? That I would not say anything or do anything that would bring reproach or dishonor to Him. I wish I could stand here and tell you I've never done anything like that. But you know I'd be lying. But that's my desire, is that I would not bring reproach upon my Heavenly Father. That grace that He's rich in, that grace is that which has that divine influence on my heart, that I would be such a one that would reflect the honor, the glory, and the praise of my Father. He's rich in grace. Now, grace, another one again, this is not my original, it's somebody else's, but G-R-A-C-E, you've all heard it. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace isn't free. It didn't cost me anything, but it cost Jesus Christ going to the cross. It cost him shedding his blood that my sins would be washed away. God's grace came at Christ's expense. And so Paul, understanding that, had so much to say about God's grace. On Wednesday evenings, we were going through Romans, and back in chapter 5, we talked about the fact that grace reigns. Grace reigns. Sin is abundant, yes. And sin is abundant in our lives, whether it be by thought or word or action. But grace reigns. Grace holds us in the grips. We're in the grips of grace. Some writer years ago wrote a book about being in the grips of grace. We're in the grips of God's grace. And he says, I'm not going to let go of you. And nothing can pluck you out of my hands. That's God's grace. But through the abundance of grace, grace reigns in our lives. Another place Paul wrote about the grace of God. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. He emptied himself. And I'm going to tell you, none of us will ever know to what extent he emptied himself until we see the glory of heaven. And I have to imagine when we first enter into heaven, you know, I've heard people say, well, I've got 1,000 questions I want to ask God. And I think the one question that I have on my mind that I would like to ask him would be, you left this to go there? The glory of heaven, the glory and the majesty of being in the presence of our Heavenly Father, and he left that to come to this earth. And he did that. He emptied himself and he became as a servant and became obedient even the death of the cross. And did he do that because we're good people? Did he do that because that? Well, I think they can help me if I have them on my side. Our text tells us, I haven't forgotten my text, I promise you. But in verse 5 it says, even when we were dead in sins. Even when we were dead in sins. In Romans it says, when we were enemies of God, Christ died for those that were good. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for me and he died for you. Christ shed his blood. When we were dead in sins, he's quickened us. He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. By grace. Not out of anything of us, but simply, purely, by the grace of God. Quite honestly, until grace becomes more than just a word spoken in church, until we can really come to that place of understanding what grace means and how it's applied in our own individual lives, I'm not sure, for me anyway, I'm not sure that it has held the meaning that it should have had in my life until I really came to the place of understanding how much I needed God's grace. When did he bestow his mercy? When did he bestow his love? When did he bestow his grace? Well, we were in Christ when he hung on the cross. Now, I don't understand the mechanics of this, but I believe it. And if I'm wrong, don't tell me. When he was hanging on the cross, I was there with him. Specifically, my sin was there with him. When they placed him in the grave, I was there with him. But notice what the text says. It's quickened us together with Christ. When he came out of the grave, guess what? I was there with him. Minus my sin. Because that debt had been paid. And it was left behind. It was left behind. So what has His grace, mercy, and love done for us? Has it freed us up that we can just go and do anything we want to and get away with it? I hope that's not our outlook, because He's my Heavenly Father. And I told you, my daddy whipped me one time, but I remember that one time He whipped me. And our Heavenly Father certainly will whip us also. He will correct us when necessary. He does it in love. But His grace, mercy, and love has done this for us. Verse 6 and 7. He's raised us up together with Christ and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As I was thinking about this, I tried to think about some celebrity that I would mention a name and say, what if that celebrity came and sat down over here away from everybody else? And it was somebody that you really thought highly of. How long would you stand in line to just get his autograph or hear him speak? And I thought, no, I don't want to bring my Lord down to some celebrity. Because He's more than a celebrity. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. So can I tell you once again this morning, when we entered into this building, even before we entered in, but since we're in this building, we're sitting together with somebody that's more than special. Christ is in this place. And I hope and pray that somehow, not my words, but somehow that He has spoken to each heart this morning and brought us to that place to say that in me and through me, you have everlasting life. You have life that will get you into heaven, yes, but it is a life that will give you peace and joy through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is a life that allows you to walk as children of the King. Children of the King. Praise God. Praise God. I'm a child of the King. May we pray.